Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Adam, and today I've hungered for this interview with two of my entertainment idols who I have not lost that love and feeling for. Tim D. Lee and Bucky Hurd, who are part of the iconic musical duo, The Righteous Brothers, along with original Righteous Brothers founder, Bill Medley. Tim has toured and recorded for over 30 years with The Righteous Brothers and is currently their music director and tour manager. And Bucky has joined the group in 2016 alongside Bill as the newly reformed Righteous Brothers. Now, Tim and Bucky have teamed up as the composers and lyricists of the new off-Broadway musical, Mike and Mindy's Wild Weekend, which is returning to the stage after a triumphant run in 2021. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Rothenberg, and for the past 16 years, I have been going behind the scenes with celebrities from the world of film, television, theater, and music. With over 2,200 interviews under my belt, I make my guests feel comfortable and at ease, allowing them to talk about life behind the curtain. So without further ado, please welcome musical sensations, Tim D. Lee and Bucky Hurd. Hi, guys.
Hey, listen, I want to take you on the road so you can intro me everywhere I go.
I love it. I'll be more than happy to.
He's good.
Very good.
Thank you. Well, I am so excited to be talking to both of you today about Mike and Mindy's Wild Weekend. And before we get into this current run of the show, if you could just take us back to the beginning, how did you both get attached to this project as the composer and lyricists?
Well, I kind of drug him into it, so I'll take it from the beginning, I guess.
Yeah.
I was approached by one of the writers, Eileen Nelson, and she I had a connection with her through her sister, who we taught at a studio together. And she said, you know, my sister is, at the time she was actually directing it. Now her sister Peggy is directing the show. But Eileen directed it with Mark Carollo, the other writer, in the beginning phases. And it was a jukebox musical. And they called me, and I just started, not been in the Righteous Brothers very long at the time. And they asked me about it. And me and Tim read the script. And I was like, you know, I just don't have time right now. And fast forward a couple of years later, you know, COVID hits and we have time. And so Tim and I read through the script again. And we, by that point, he and I had already figured out that we could write together. We'd written a couple of original songs and done performances here in Vegas at the Composer Showcase. And we're like, you know what? Why don't you send us the songs that you were using and we'll try to write something in a similar vibe. So, for example, like Land of a Thousand Dances is na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And Mike and Mindy's While We Can Jam, the title song is na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
You're giving away too many secrets.
Really still. But yeah, you know, we just wanted to have the feel for some of these songs. And so, you know, we dove in. And Tim, you want to kind of take it from there?
Well, yeah, we were, it's sort of a replacement, you know, here, this song is this vibe. What can we do to recreate that vibe? And at the same time, I feel very proud that as reading through the script, we found several moments and probably wrote another three or four songs that weren't there, you know, so there's moments like, why doesn't she have a moment and why doesn't he have a moment? So there are some other songs that we brought to the table as well as recreating some moments that were already there.
And is your songwriting process the same for musical theater as it is for writing pop songs?
That's an interesting question.
It is. I think...
It's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together.
You know, part of the musical process is the same, but lyrically you are, I don't know if you want to call it easier or harder, but you're going down a lane. You know, if that's the character, you have to stay within what the premise of the character is. And we were able to recreate the vibe. That's musically, but then you lyrically, you know, that went through some hashing out.
He's really funny because, you know, Tim had never really worked on musical theater, so to speak. Am I correct in
No,
saying
that's
that?
correct.
And he, and I'm a musical theater geek. I mean, my degree is in theater. That's what I was. I'm a theater guy. He just got so liberated as we were writing this because I said there are no rules in musical theater. You can say, do, I like Sweeney Todd's mostly sung. You can have breaks when you want. You can have three people singing over each other. And so he got very timid about a little bit, I think, when we first started, because you can't do that. And now he's like, what can we do to really.
What's wrong with four key changes in a scale?
That's right. Do you feel like that gave you a freedom that you maybe didn't feel beforehand?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the fun of
Yeah.
musical theater,
Yes. What was the most fun song or songs to write for the show?
We got a tag team because Tim would have a concept and he'd have a melody line on certain songs. So he pioneered probably half the soundtrack, and then I kind of pioneered the other half, and then we brought our two halves together, and he worked on my half, and I worked on his half.
We actually have played a game with the first time around with the cast before they found out who was re more responsible for which song. We'd kind of get to know them and let them guess.
Oh my God,
Like,
that sounds like a lot of
who do you
fun.
think this is, the one of mine or one of his? And
That was
some
kind of
different.
fun.
But I think it's kind of all over the board because there's fun songs and there's more serious ballads and meaningful songs, and I think we each had a couple of each.
I think so.
Was the game Name That Tune? Because that is like a that game, it seems like that's a classic game
I
for
can
Name
name
That
that song in
Tune.
three.
Yes.
I can name that composer in three notes.
Yes.
Well, he, we like Tim said, we tried to stay in a kind of lane. I mean, he and our music, we're obviously, being with the Righteous Brothers, we love the melodic, soulful grooves of the 50s and 60s, and we tried to combine that with my time and what the opening of this show is set. The very opening scene is set in 1982. And then, of course, we go back more in time. So as people are coming in, they're hearing all the big hits from the 80s, like Jack and Diane and the Go-Go's and all that fun stuff. But we tried to create the harmonies, kind of have a journey, all those great harmonies from the early 80s, from those hair bands and the Journey-esque. So we always say the music to me, I don't know if Tim feels this way, but the music to me would be, I just tell the audience, think you're going to go in and see Grease mixed with Rock of Ages.
Oh my
If
God,
we could be so bold,
I love that.
And I might add, we're really proud of the vocalists.
Oh
The
boy.
actors are really, I mean,
Insanely good.
some of the arrangements, you go come into the studio and, because we recorded all the demos first.
Right.
We went into the studio and we thought, I don't know, are they going to be able to recreate this? We came in, we taught them the songs, and they did. These I call them kids because typically they are.
They're dads, but they're this group of actors is hungry. Just came in with guns a-blazing and took on these parts. And I just sent them all a text because opening night and all. And I said, I couldn't be more proud, Tim and I, just the way you brought these songs to life for us. And because we've done, this will be the fifth rendition of the show we've done. It's been a work in progress. And then the writers have been great rewriting and figuring out we've killed off certain characters and made a twist at the end and all kinds of stuff.
Killed
And
off,
then Tim and I wrote, he wrote a new opener for the Nerd Couple. I wrote a brand new song called Unnoticed because it's very another kind of my Suddenly Seymour of the show. And so it's been really fun to be on the train. It's a lot of,
Yes.
being in theater, it's a lot. A lot. And he lives in Orange County and I live in Las Vegas. And I mean, going to New York City every few days,
Oh my gosh.
but we love the theater. And,
Yes.
but yeah, it's just been fun to see it evolve. And the only original cast member that we have coming back is the character of Don, which is kind of the father-in-law, the Joe Pesci, the Italian, and, Carmen Romano, plays that role beautifully. But the rest,
He's not really playing. That is
that is him.
him.
Kind of, that's Carmen. So you've got, and he's Italian, old school, so you've kind of got that vibe mixed with these kids that, 22 years old, 23 years old, and to watch them come together. And the ironic thing is, it's about two families. And then, but on stage, all these strangers basically have become, which is the beautiful thing of theater. Another beautiful thing is that you become like family, as you know. You know,
Yes.
you do a short 5 week run, and you're friends for family for life.
Yes, it's very true. Because speaking of that you said that you have written a few new songs for this version of the show. The songs that you kept in the show, do they feel the same as they did during one of the earlier incarnations of the show?
I think that some of the mainstays are, we have a song called Celebrate. It used to be the opener and the closer. Now it's just the closer, but it's a party. Yeah, it could be used for anything. It's a party song. It's
That's our version of celebrate good time. But our, you know, we wanted that. Well, again, we created that vibe.
just a party song. The disco version, basically, of To the Rescue is the song is
Disco.
called To the Rescue. So that, they all held up. It's just I thought we maybe brought some more dramatic moments and gave several people. It isn't just Mike and Mindy now. It's like they're this couple, this couple, this couple, this guy. A lot more people have a lot more spots.
And what would you say, what was it like to work together in this capacity for the show as opposed to working together in the Righteous Brothers?
I'll take that. Go ahead.
Oh, we have our roles, but it's 50-50, I mean, I have a different capacity being on the road, and it's like he's one of the stars, I'm the road manager, the musical guy.
Tim's herding cats, you know.
Yeah, I know all about cat
And
herding.
I'm catching a nap in the afternoon. I feel so bad, but I mean, I wouldn't trade with you, so you
No, he
know.
wouldn't trade.
Now, in the show, Mike and Mindy are two dreamers. So, what dream of yours got fulfilled by writing the music and lyrics for this show?
Boy, that's number one right there. I mean, I can't wait to we're still 2 days away to see our first show. I mean, with this cast.
We have a show tonight in Las Vegas. Tim and I are going to be on stage here tonight, and we're like, it's killing us. But my wife's the choreographer, and she flew out to catch the opening today. But Tim and I have got a show tonight.
We're missing the opening, so but I can't wait to see it, and that is a fulfillment to see your songs performed to that caliber. And I say caliber, these kids are great.
My daughter got actually, she's at AMDA in New York studying theater. She's 19 and she wanted to audition for the show. And I told the director she was going to audition. I said, but don't give it to her. If there's somebody better, dad wants to make some money off this. So if she's somebody better than her, I don't care about family. No, but she went in and she ended up getting the role of Lisa. So she plays the nerd character. So for me, and she loves Tim, but for me to have my daughter on stage singing songs that that her dad helped write is going to be more emotion than I could probably take.
Wow. Press notes for the show also state that Mike and Mindy juggle love, life, and a whole lot of family drama in their quest to make it big. So my question to both of you is, what are some things you've had to overcome to make it big?
Probably just being,
The
I survived the
60s,
60s,
Graham. Not me. The 80s for me.
survived all that, Probably like most entertainers, just being on the road all the time. I mean, here we are talking about bouncing back and forth and things going on, and that's the challenge. You learn how to produce and do your job while you're on the road, but at the same time, trying to keep in touch with the family and keep the home front going is that's a challenge.
It's great being on
Any
the road together,
podcast?
though, because we have time sometimes at night. And also, when we have a day off in between shows or travel day, Tim brings a little keyboard and his microphone. And I've woken him up at 2 in the morning. Hey, dude, I've got this idea for a song. See, look here.
Oh my
See,
God, I love it.
when I say I play a little piano, I mean it figuratively. He got a little piano.
It's always close
Play a
by.
little piano. But it's it's really easy for us to work together. Like most of the original soundtrack, we've written new songs, was written in the Righteous Brothers dressing room, because when we first started in Vegas, we were at Harrah's and we were doing what, four shows, three shows,
A
and
week,
a week, three shows a week. And then we work on the weekends. But we were done. It was a 6 o'clock show because our crowd's older, and Plus, they want to get them in the casino before bedtime. So we would do a 6 o'clock. We would do a 6 o'clock show, and we would be over. The show's over at 7:30, and Tim's like, "Well, let's write some music." And so we would stay. We created a little studio like in the dressing room because we had a residency there. So the stars lined up real well
We
for that.
probably that's where most of it was written.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
In the dressing room.
I love that. Literally behind the curtain story.
Yes,
Love
literally.
it. Love
Right
it.
behind. Yeah, it was.
Yes,
That's
yes.
true.
Now in the show also, Mike and Mindy Mike works as a plumber and Mindy is a hairdresser, but they never let go of their dream of becoming music stars. What are some dreams you ha are still holding on to?
Boy, I'm just right there with songwriting. I'm still writing and pitching
We won a
and
Tony Award.
I sense it's coming.
A Tony would be great. A Grammy would,
Grammy will be
you
really nice.
know.
I'm actually doing an insane thing. So our Broadway show, off-Broadway show, opens this tonight, and then I go in for the run. I'm leaving Monday to fly down to Nashville, Tennessee. I just recorded a solo album because the Righteous Brothers are still going, but we're doing a few less concerts on the road. So I'm taking Tim as my music director, and I'm taking the band, and we're going out and doing some Bucky Hurd shows. So my first song called My Best Days for my solo album drops on the 27th of this month. I'll be in Nashville, Tennessee for 2 days of interviews. But yeah, going in to do that. So it's kind of interesting that I've got both these things going. So, I'm hoping both of them make some noise.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I go back to the Tina Turner quote that I heard. In this business, when you're hot, you just got to get out there and do it all. And it sounds like you both are like, you have so much going on right now. It's very exciting.
It is. Can't wait. Can't
Yeah.
wait to this weekend.
Yes.
One of the songs we have is called Shelf Life. And because it's, she's contemplating if dreams have a shelf life. But then by the end of the song, and Tim wrote this song, it's beautiful. At the end, she goes, she figures out, that they don't have to have a shelf life. And that's what I think the main, one of the main messages, if you will. We try to sneak little feel good messages in without being preachy. That's one of the things I think too many shows nowadays are too preachy. What happened to just going to the theater and turning your mind off and enjoying a fun filled show without being, hammered a message or something? But dreams don't have a shelf life. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80 years old. And Mindy kind of figures that out, and she says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I can't wait to find out.
Oh, I love that. Do either of you have any dreams that are still on that shelf?
I had a dream,
Besides the
a
Tony Award
dream.
and Grammy.
Yeah.
Let me play my newest 10 songs. Hang
Yeah.
on, and I'll
Yeah,
and a dream of somebody saying picking it up and landing on the.
that's kind of where I'm at too, man.
Wow,
I want to hit record,
that would be great.
man. Yeah. You never know. Somebody gets them, so why not us? Why not you? Why
Why
not?
not?
If you believe in yourself and you're willing to put the time in and you keep swinging, man, that's the main thing I tell I used to
Yeah.
teach theater, and I would tell my students, I said, you got to get up and you got to swing that bat, man, because you're going to strike out and you're going to, Hugh Jackman said one of the coolest things, and he was on James Lipton's show, An Actor's Studio, one of my favorite shows, and where they asked the questions, they asked Hugh Jackman, what is the biggest piece of advice you can give us as young actors and filmmakers? He said, take a risk. He said, take a
Yes.
risk. You got to get out there and try it, because unless you're willing to do that, unless you're willing to die on stage, you'll never live. So perseverance is so important. There's so many people that have no idea how close they were to making it, but they just didn't swing that one more time, and that's what keeps me in it. It's just that belief that, if you.
I've been working with Bill Medley for 35 years,
Yeah.
and you know what success he's had, but you don't know how many tries it took to get there. He never stops,
Yep.
you know.
Still at 80, almost
And he
85
just
years old.
recorded a new album,
Yep.
you know, 84 years
Oh, I
old.
was in the studio with him and
Incredible.
Michael McDonald going, what?
Oh
Vince Gill's on the album with him. It's just like,
my God.
so he's pretty
it's a
inspirational.
lesson to all of
That,
us.
yes,
He is
definitely.
an inspiration.
Yes, I love that. I mean, it's so true. Perseverance, you just keep going because you never know what is going to hit. Or even if it's not a hit record or a mega or, some kind of blockbuster hit, you could still make an impact in someone's life and
Boy,
that will also mean a lot.
I can't. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I have a couple of, you always talk about your songs, but I have one or two that would be the message is enough.
Yeah. And you never know what song you write that will mean something to somebody. And it could be a song that the record company may never even say, let's put this out, but yet that's their favorite song.
Well, Unchained Melody was a B-side.
Right.
There's a couple of the songs in the show that Tim and I had written. Like, there's a song in the show called I'm Over the Top, but I'm Deep in the Hole. And I wrote that back in 1999 or 98, and had a big horn section in it and all this. And then when I read the script, me and Tim's got a lot of, so he's a great songwriter, great melody. He writes incredible melody lines. And he had some songs already. He wrote one for the Olympics called This Is Your Time. And it never, it got a little interest, but never got picked up. So he brought that to the table and we found a perfect spot for it and readjusted some of the lyrics. And so we had about three songs, I would say, right, that were already written. And they were on the shelf. And I just thought, and then I went, wait a minute, let's go look at some of these songs and see what we can do to make them fit into the, and we were able to do that with at least three songs. So it was nice to be able to go back and get those. It's like finding your lost puppy. You're like, oh, your dog comes up after being gone for, oh, so it was
Yes.
that was really great.
Opening a play, running the Olympics.
Yeah. Well,
They're both
Yeah, you did
marathons.
that? Okay, good.
Yes. As I mentioned during the intro, you both are part of the musical duo, The Righteous Brothers. What has been the most rewarding part of being in the group?
I think, well, it's kind of pretty out there for me. And I talk about this in the show. I tell the audience, I said, after almost 10 years, Bill and I've been doing this together, and I said, it's still so surreal to me that even after almost 10 years, that this little kid, that played these records in his room in this tiny little town in Alabama, is standing on stage next to Bill Medley, like rock and roll heaven. My mom bought me that record in 74 and I wore it out and tried to sing like Bobby. And now I'm on stage every night singing it with Bill all over the country in front of sold out houses. And then I've got met Timmy and become, through Bill, I met Timmy and we become dear friends. And then that birthed all of this. So, I guess we don't tell Bill. I'm gonna tell Bill not to watch this because I don't want him to give him any responsibility.
Take
But
it on
he,
you.
it's just it's been one heck of a ride. And but standing on the stage every night next to Bill Medley is insane, and it's wonderful because he's so incredible and such a wonderful human. And to hear like you just said, people walk up and what they say to him, like these veterans that are in Vietnam that say, we played your songs, you were our connection to home, and with tears in their eyes and thanking him. And then you got grandmothers and their daughters who the daughters know it because of the movies, because of Top Gun and Ghost and Dirty Dancing. And the moms lived it in the 60s. So we were out signing autographs one day, and the mom comes up and she's telling Bill, her daughter saw the movie Ghost, and her daughter's in her
Oh
40s
my
now, right?
God.
Saw the movie Ghost in her time of my life and came, not time of my life, Unchained
No,
Melody.
yes.
Came in and said, Mom, there's this great new group called the Righteous Brothers. And her mom said, she looked at her and said, are you kidding me? That they're the reason you're here.
That is too funny.
Yeah.
Oh my
Well,
gosh.
my side is the same. I just learned a lot. I've been there a lot of years with Bill, and from day one, I mean, I'm transitioning out of working. Bill had a nightclub. That's kind of where I met him, Orange County. But coming out of nightclubs and going into showrooms and performances and knowing that it doesn't matter who's out there or how many people are out there, he's 100%
Sure is.
every
Yeah.
night.
It was hard to keep up with it.
And you're going to look silly if you don't show up. We've spent however many years in clubs where you're just kind of, not faking your way through, but you got 4 hours, so you're pacing yourself.
Oh my
And he
gosh.
shows,
Sandbagging.
but when you show up in a show, you look silly if you don't show up
Yeah.
100%.
Well, we do have to start wrapping things up, but my last two questions are going to be playing off of two of my favorite Righteous Brothers songs, Unchained Melody and You've Lost That Loving Feeling. So, what is something you've lost that loving feeling for that you used to love to do?
Running. No, I'm just
Physical
kidding.
activity.
Yeah.
That's a good question, man. You've got
Thank
some great
you.
questions. I haven't ever been asked. This is really.
Mine, yeah, it could be a sport maybe that I'm not quite qualified for.
Sometimes getting up.
I used to love to do.
Yes, I'm with you there. Well, my final question of the day is going to be, when has a melody become unchained for you while writing it? Like similar to a writer getting writer's block.
There might be one.
I bet you Skip a Beat would probably be the one that we've reworked the most.
That we put a lot of time into rearranging and making, trying to make something happen. You know,
It just
like
wasn't happening.
you keep chasing it, but you know there's something there, and you're just not going to give up until you find a way
He's
to do
so
it.
good at that too.
I really enjoy. I also enjoy. I tell you a moment we had at rehearsals. Of all things, we were rehearsing with this new cast, and we have a real short version of one of the songs in there that was written
Oh.
that I wrote quite a while ago, but we reworked it, and Where There Is Love, this little duet, and it just wasn't getting the impact,
He'll call
and
me
then
and say, what can we do?
so we at rehearsal with the two singers, and they helped us.
Yeah.
We said, let's instead of just staying here, let's try to raise, and we changed the melody, and now it's like
Oh.
it's a third thing you're going to hear in the play. It's only about a minute and a half long, and it's
That's
moving.
breathtaking where we take it to. And like Tim and I will just like he called me like two or three of the songs when the players called and invited us to come in for this residency, two or three of the songs. Tim's like, well, we got another shot because we were, you get rushed because you got to get this thing done. And he said, we got a shot now to really the bones and everything is there. It's like making a cake. The cake is wonderful and the icing is great, but now we have a chance to put the candles and the flowers and the little intricacies on. So we added a lot of harmonies and a lot of layers of vocals and didn't change the arrangements at all, but vocally. And Tim said, let's try something here. Let's try something here. And we were able to do some things that when we brought them in, the writers were like, holy cow. And tell them what the sound guy
Well,
said.
in answer to your question, Where There Is Love is the little duet that you'll hear early
Yeah.
on. And I love where the melody ended up. It started, but where it ends up. And he also just wrote a new song, Unnoticed. And that's
Yeah. The nerd couple, we've all, especially when you're young and awkward, you feel like nobody sees you. And so they have this moment it's like a montage dream sequence where the two nerd characters, Lisa and Peter, who are hysterical. My daughter plays Lisa. It's just,
Oh my God.
they just talk about being how they feel being, you walk into a room and there you are standing there just completely unnoticed. So it's, some touching moments like that. I'm really, like Tim said, I'm really proud of
Yeah,
it.
the melodies are great. Two different melodies going on at the same
Yeah.
time.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible.
And I'd send him a drunk message at 3 in the morning going, trying to play piano, go, I got an idea. And then he calls me back the next day and he kind of figured out what I was trying to do and wrote this beautiful piano arrangement. And then we get along on the phone. We'll call each other. I'm sending you a voicemail. Blah, 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 blah. And then it just does this. And then we've got an amazing engineer in Nashville at Fatback Studios. His name is Gabe Rabin, I would be remiss if I didn't mention him, and I'm glad I thought about it. He put the thread and the dynamics and everything
In
through
the
all of these
tracks.
songs. He built all the
Wow.
tracks. From me and Tim just singing with piano and maybe some strings and a drum track, he breathed life into these
Oh
songs.
my
And
gosh.
he's amazing. He's an amazing engineer and artist.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad you were able to mention him. And
Yes.
I can't thank you both enough for your time today. We do have to wrap things up, but I want to let everybody know who's watching and listening. Don't forget to go see Mike and Mindy's Wild Weekend Jam. It will be rocking and rolling on the main stage at the Players Theater through July 20th in New York City. And I will have the ticket link on my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. Bucky, Tim, thank you so much for your time today.
Adam, you're wonderful.
Yeah,
Thank you
thank
so much.
you.
I wish you much, much success and keep on chasing those dreams, baby.
Thank you. You too.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens. happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. Call me Adam.com.